That's what gender is about. It's about relationship. So when you lose gender in relationships, you lose gender. So the current transgender movement and widespread gender dysphoria that we're witnessing was entirely predictable. When people don't know who they are in relationship, they start to lose what it is to be a man or what it is to be a woman, all the while adopting cultural stereotypes that are wrong and thinking that's what gender is and they don't fit in. And so gender confusion is only going to increase now. And what will come next, Neil, is widespread body modification. That's the next step in the disintegration of God's image.
We will come back and talk more about that in a moment. I guess maybe we need to go back a bit, though, and talk about why is gender linked to relationships? What is it about relationship that we need to understand here?
Sure. Well, you know, most of us, if we think about what it is that makes a man or what it is that makes a woman, we have some kind of essential quality in mind that women tend to be empathetic or men tend to, you know, like football. And this is not the way that the Bible talks about gender. When the Bible brings up gender, the biblical writers always bring it up in terms of relationship. And it goes back to the very beginning. When God creates man and says, I'm going to make man, male and female, shall I make them? He's talking about making mankind in his image. Well, what does that mean? Well, if we look at who God is, as the Bible unfolds, we find out that he's Trinity in unity, that God is three in one. So we came out gendered because we're reflecting something of what God is themselves. God has community within himself, the three in one. And so you have different persons who are equal but different coming together in relationship. And that's why he gave us the gift of gender.
You use the word asymmetry just to help us understand, you know, that's what the three syllables. That might be more than some of us normally use.
Yeah, it's a big word, but it's and you know, you probably didn't use it since you got out of high school geometry.
I'm thinking so, yeah.
Right, so. Yeah. But I use that word because it just captures very well how God created these two equal image bearers. Both men and women are equal in the sense of reflecting God's image. But when he brings them together, just because there's equality between them doesn't mean that they love each other the same way. They actually love each other asymmetrically. And when the New Testament writer, Paul, looks at Genesis 2 and that story of the creation of gender, he highlights three different features of the narrative to tell us this is how we are to be different to one another in relationship, and those are the contours that help us to know how it is that we're men, how it is that we're women. So when what you're pointing out here is a kind of yin yang. I guess I'm not sure I want to use that term because people might think I'm talking about another religion, but there is a kind of alternating the way that men and women are brought together, or as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, literally, woman is not apart from man, and man is not apart from women. And usually translators have tried to smooth that out by translating it as, well, women are not independent of men and men are not independent of women, which is good, but literally it's even more raw. It's more, you don't have men apart from women. You don't have women apart from men, because we find the definition in each other in coming into relationship and loving each other. So these kinds of pairings should direct us away from a kind of idea of what the world thinks of gender as is some kind of, you know, you're a man if you go out into the woods and you cut yourself with stones, or you're a woman if you like to go shopping, or if you're afraid of mice. This is not the way the Bible talks about it. It talks about us with each other.
Do we get maybe gender and sexuality confused, right? Or maybe we blurred the lines today. Make that distinction for us.
Yes. When we look at it at the beginning, when God creates on his days of creation, we notice that there are animals who exist before man is brought along, and these animals have sexual differences, but something happens on the sixth day that's different. His last work, the crown of creation, men and women in his image, is unique, and physical sexual difference existed before that in plants and animals, but this is new. This is gender. It's uniquely human, and we need to recognize that when God creates us in his image, gender is something that's different than just physical differences. Physical differences are the platform on which he creates gender, but gender is a call to be in the image of God. So if we don't realize this, we can make mistakes. If we think that it's sexual difference is gender, then we don't see that male-female sexual differences sometimes overlap. So what's typical for a female, like being nurturing or being shorter, sometimes shows up in a male instead. And God loves this kind of variety. But if we think that the typical sexual trait is what makes a woman, then we can mess people up and exclude people by our expectations, because you're not less of a man if you happen to be shorter. And a woman who excels in martial arts is not less of a woman. And a man with an eye for decorating who can't grow a mustache, it doesn't mean he's less of a man. And it's essential for the Church of Jesus Christ to realize this and embrace the exceptional for the Church's benefit as well as the individual's. Because when the exceptional are excluded, then the developmental problems come in and hinder them into their lives. And we lose out, too.
Is it really a problem if we sort of color outside the lines, if you will, and cross these gender boundaries? I mean, what is it, just because it says something in Genesis 2, or are there better reasons?
Yes, well, just to return to that previous question about confusing sexual difference with gender difference that we were talking about, if your gender is just your genitalia, then medical procedures have gotten quite good these days. So if you have the money and the inclination, because you're uncomfortable with some parts of yourself, you can start to believe that you can just change it. If you have the hormone treatment and you have the sex reassignment operation, then you could change your gender. And that's not the case at all. According to the Scriptures, we're called, gender is a calling to be in the image of God. And God gives us this gift to call us forward in relationship. So we can't actually just go and change it, even if we're uncomfortable with kind of our own definitions.
Before we get to those questions, I guess, say a bit about what does it mean to be a true woman? What does it mean to be a true man? Is it about doing or being?
Well, I think it's both, in that God creates on the platform of a sexual difference, but the gender that we are is really a call to love the other gender in relationship. So when the Bible talks about gender distinction, it's much clearer on action than on essence. The Bible doesn't say, you know, man, you are this, or woman, you are this. It says, man, do this for her, and woman, do this for him. So a lot of the ways in which the culture might say, well, this is how you're a man, you know, you like to go to the hardware store, or this is how you're a woman, you know, you're afraid of mice, or you like romantic comedies. This is not the way the Bible talks. Instead, it talks about us finding out who we are as men and women by doing what God calls us to in relationship.
Mm-hmm.